I'd like for us to think about the topic of self-awareness tonight. I find that in the pursuit of the Lord, that of what we call living for the Lord or pursuing God and those kind of things, I find that a lot of it is God's working with us to get us to understand ourselves. God can do anything. I'm convinced that God could make the lightning bolt strike tonight, and the thunder roll, and we'd get up in the morning and all be good. But that's not the plan. God has a plan for us to where He brings us to an understanding of ourselves, and in our desire for God, we pursue the changes that we need in life. He rarely changes anyone, or I'd say most never changes anyone without their knowledge of it. He works with us in our understandings. In the third chapter of Revelations, it says in the 14th verse, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Here was obviously some people that didn't have very good self-awareness. They had it completely wrong about themselves. They assessed themselves, looked at themselves, and completely got it wrong. If you're here tonight and you think that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, you are not. And if you're here tonight and you think that you're run down and worthless and don't mean nothing, you're not. Both ways can be a drastic problem with self-awareness and what you really are. If you're here tonight and somehow you think because you've hit a certain place in life or because you've had certain abilities or anything like that that might make you special, I'm here to tell you tonight you're not special because of any of those things. And as Nebuchadnezzar found out, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, honestly, he did. I mean, in our minds, he did have the greatest kingdom that the earth had ever seen. And when he steps out there and looks around and says, "Look at what I have done," well, to be honest with you, he kind of did do it. I mean, he did do all that. That wasn't the problem with it, that he done all those things. The problem of it was that he didn't acknowledge where it came from. Anybody could have been Nebuchadnezzar if God would have made him Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't choose what generation he was born in, what nationality he was born in, who his parents was, whether he had a short leg and a long one, or whether he was so tall or so fat or so smart or so anything. He didn't decide any of those things about it. But he steps out there and acts like he's the ruler of everything. And I'm it. I've arrived. The greatest ruler that the nation's ever seen is on the scene now. And God looks down there, and he did do all of those things, and he didn't acknowledge that God had made him to do it. Do you know tonight it is so arrogant and self-conceited for us to think that we do anything? God puts us in that. If you're the smartest one in the room tonight, you can't take credit for that. God put you in that position, and God has plainly said that he took credit for those things. You should thank God for what he done. There is a obvious problem in us humans with self-awareness. It's easy sometimes to look at other people and say they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't have that position. They shouldn't go there. They shouldn't be like that. And it is so terribly hard to give yourself the same judgment. Several years ago, there was a man that had achieved the highest, maybe still talked about. His name was Michael Jordan, and he had achieved the highest praises for the NBA basketball. He was a basketball hero. He was somebody that was extraordinary at what he done. And he had won, I don't know, I think three championships or something, and he kind of got bored with the whole thing. And so the greatest so-called basketball player that ever lived, right in his prime, he was a great athlete, and right in the middle of his prime, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. I have no reason to. I have nothing to prove. And he said, I want to play baseball. I want to play baseball. So he decides that he's going to start, and he goes into the minor leagues, and I don't know, he got on a team somewhere, and he went into the minor leagues. And so I remember hearing on the radio an interview that some sports people was doing with all of these other, they wasn't just mediocre. He asked the high up sports figures in their various fields and said to them, can Michael Jordan do it? And to the man, every one of them said, no, he can't do it. Baseball is a totally different game than basketball. It takes a different skill set. It's altogether different. And will he be able, this greatest athlete that basketball ever known, will he be able to transfer over? No, to a man. He will not be able to do it. He'll never be great at it. No, the answer is no. And then the second question they asked the same men, do you think you would be able to achieve and excel in another sport? And to a man, they all said yes. Yes. Because they saw their high moments. They saw their strengths. They saw the things about them that made them think that I was just almost, I could do it. They had a perception of their self that they could not have for somebody else and put into another place. But they had a perception of their own abilities and their own self that they applied to that. And I think it's relative to the way that we are with our own lives too. But Lord, help us to be self-aware about our own lives, not shortchanging it and all that. And in the Laodiceans here, they was in a wealthy place. They was in a good situation of life, and they looked at it and they said something about themselves. We are in need of nothing. Nothing. Listen, we got the financial backing. We have the brains. We have the ability. We've built things. We've done things. We've got congregation. We know how to order things and how to do things. We have all of these things together. We have all of this. And at the end of it, they said, we need nothing. I don't have a need of anything. And the Lord looked down on that and with such need of nothing. You're saying that you're rich and you're clothed and you're all of this, and you can't even see how naked and wretched and poor and miserable you really are. You can't see yourself. The blinders many times are on ourselves. You know, living for the Lord is so much about the God revealing us to us. It's about Him revealing me to me. You know, there's a scripture that says that when the Comforter would come, that He would lead us and guide us into all truth. Truth about what? Truth about quantum physics or quantum mechanics or the fine-tuning part of the universe or the depths of molecular movements and chemical reactions. What is the truth that He's going to lead us and guide us into? He wasn't talking about those things. You know, the truth that He wanted to lead us into was the truth about ourselves. God would lead and guide us into all the truth that matters to our lives, that causes us to be dysfunctional with one another, the little things that keep us at distance from one another, the things that keep us from being truly what God would have us to be, the things that are in there that keeps us from being really servants of the Lord, that the Lord has a calling for every one of us. I believe that tonight. There is a place for every one of us tonight, a calling that you can know, this is what the Lord wants of me. Are you aware of it? Is there a self-awareness of it to know what God is wanting to do with us? God doesn't matter about the thing. God already has all those other things in control. What God wants to do is reveal me to me. He wants me to understand who I am. So in this passage of Scripture, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and to anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He's talking about something special here. It's in a type. You're gonna get you this salve, and this salve, you're gonna be able to put it on your eyes. And when you put it on your eyes, it's going to cause you to see clearly. Do you remember the passage of Scripture where the Lord was talking to the ones that was being so tight, so in there that they wanted to remove the finest little thing out of their brother's eye. They wanted to get that mote out of their brother's eye. They saw the mote, didn't they? Or they pretended, I mean, yeah, I see something you need worked on. You need to tighten up a little bit. But the Lord comes and says, deal with yourself first. Deal with your own life first. Get the beam out of your eye. Get the beam out of there. Do you know what? Lord, help us. We all at times, I'm not going to blame for everybody, but I know I can say it works on me sometimes. You know, there can be a real critical spirit that can come up into us too. We can look at the negative things about everything. We can actually become very, very negative. So I just want to express this to you. I felt like the Lord did it, but I had these friends in different places, and there was a couple different families in Pakistan. I mentioned this local congregation, but I felt like the Lord put these people in my life. And I was doing Bible studies with them, and I would answer biblical questions, and we back and forth. The first time that it happened, I felt like one of them lied to me about something, and I was lied to. And I kind of got all about it, and I said, I'm done. Right? I'm done. You know what I mean? I got a right to do that. Somebody lied to me. They lied to me. And I felt like the Lord spoke so specifically to me. Well, I must have got the wrong guy for this. Go ahead, quit, run off. I mean, that's the impression. Go ahead and quit, run off. I got somebody that I want to help somebody. And if somebody lied to you, they really need help. So what you running away for? And I was like, no, Lord, no, no, wait, Lord. You know, I mean, I get it. You want me to deal, you put me here for a reason. So they don't have it all, listen, so they don't have it all together. What are we for? I mean, what are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to run into people that are perfect saints and they don't need help? I'm only dealing with the people that don't need help. Everybody else is excused. I didn't recognize that about myself, but I got some eye salve. Are you going to run? You going to do that? Well, you know, it wasn't long. I'm kind of let that go as we do, and I run into something, and it got all messed up and twisted around and all that stuff, and I finally said, it's not worth it. I'm done. Well, I guess I got the wrong guy for the job. No, wait, Lord. No, what? I'm a quitter. Lord, help me. I'm a quitter. I want to just quit. Easiest thing for me is to quit. You get in the wrong place on me, I'm done. I'm done. You know what? The Lord helped me to see something here. Marty, grow up. Marty, I put you in a situation and I put people in your life. Help them. Do you know somebody that lies to you can still be helped? Somebody that ain't doing it all right can still be helped? Somebody that don't dress right, look right, talk right, that's who we're... Lord, help us. But I'm in a place that I'm enriched and need nothing. Lord, help us to see who we are. Be self-aware about who we are. Lord, I want to be not in name or just recognized as a group. I want the reality of living for God. I want to have it for real. I want to be the real thing about this. I want to know these kind of things. You know, there's a scripture where the writer says, "Search me, O God. Try my reins." Why? Because I can't see myself very good. I can stand back and see others clear, but looking too close or looking introspectively, I can't see. Lord, you try the reins. You see what I'm about. Put me under this certain place. And you know, that's what the Lord really wants to do. He wants us to understand ourselves. And I know many of you have heard this, but bear with me. It's a part of my experience, and it's places that you don't know is in there. But when I first got saved, the first year I got saved, I was living in the clouds. I was so glad to be saved. I was so thankful to be saved that I was just living it high, and things would happen. I didn't know how to live for the Lord. I thought I did. I mean, I thought I was a giant probably by then. I knew I wanted to live for the Lord, but I had a lot to learn. And so things would happen, and I always just thought you're supposed to act right. You are supposed to act right. But act, the word act there can be met up to say you're acting right. I wanted to serve the Lord so much that no matter what happened, I acted right. So me and my wife would get into it about something and I'd act right. And then something else would happen and I'd act right. And for a year and a half or something, I acted right. I made sure I acted right. I swallowed hard sometimes, but I acted right. You ain't gonna catch me not acting right. Until we was coming off of Miller Mountain one time, and me and my wife got into a little, how do you say it as a saint? We was in a disagreement. And I got so disagreeable that I was going down the highway at a rapid speed and just locked on the brakes. I got so upset and just went sliding into this wide spot, just locked it up and just went right into that wide spot. Scared my wife, and it should have scared my wife. I was in control of the car, but I mean, she was scared. And she had a right to be scared, and she had a right not want to ride with me. And I had acted right all that time. Well, what happened? What happened? I went to the altar. What happened? I tried so hard to act right. I remember going to the altar and Brother Tony came with me and I told Brother Tony the story. I'm ashamed of myself. And I told him, this is what I've done. And I remember him going, "Brother Marty, that's not the way you do it." And I was like, "Right. I know it's not the way you do it. How do you do it?" You find God's daily grace in your life. That's how you do it. You don't just swallow hard and swallow something down and you're doing it and you can do it. There's a lot of things you can find that you can do. But one thing you can't do is be successful without the Lord. And I realized that I had done it completely wrong. And the Lord showed me, you know what I said, and I say it to this time, thank God for that moment. Not for a failure. Not for a bad action. For the for the testimony, for the information I got, I know I've learned, I've got some eyesight. I know this now. I know something that I didn't know. I felt like God simply allowed this to boil up so that you could get the dross out. So that you could get some more and more it does. Do you know these people was in a place that the Lord had to say to them, you won't let the gold even get refined. You're in a place that you've written off everything else. I don't need anything. Don't need anything. And the Lord is saying, but wait. I challenge you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You go through it. Let me make gold of your life. We need some self-awareness about things to look and say, this ain't working. I'm amazed at people that don't say this ain't working. Now, if there's somebody out there that has a problem with me, you forgive me, but I don't think I have that problem. I'm setting a bunch with friends, and I know people that don't hardly have friends. And after they got so many people that they're dysfunctional with, and they're dysfunctional with this one, and they can't get along with this one, and they can't get along with this one, and they can't get along with the next one, and they're having problems over here and over there. At what point do you just say, Lord, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why is everything dysfunctional with me? Could it be, Lord? No, everybody's right. I had an uncle one time that he was married 4 or 5 times, and he something was made a comment about it, and I knew my uncle well, okay? And my uncle makes the statement, yeah, he said, of his wives, he said, yeah, boy, I can really pick them, can I? And I was thinking, yeah. But what about them? What about them? I mean, after a while, could you not say, is there something wrong with me? Lord, help me. Is there something wrong with me that I can't go through the difficulties I need? I can't go through the differences with people. I can't take in the things with people. I can't handle those things. Maybe it's not them. I mean, we all know the story of the woman that looked out the window and seen the dirty laundry. I think we're all probably familiar with the story. Looked out and saw the woman hang up the dirty laundry and thought, oh, hanging up all that dirty laundry. And it wasn't the laundry, it was a window that was dirty. She's looking out a dirty window, her own window. Looking out there, looking, saying it's dirty out there. And all this dirty, and it ain't dirty out there. It's dirty in me. I need to clean up some. And Lord, help us to be willing. Are you willing tonight? Are you willing to say, Lord, help me to see myself? You know, I believe that is the road to real victory and real success in the Lord. We can desire, for whatever reason, to be a giant of scriptures or to know the finer tunings of the way the scripture is written or maybe the deep things of the scriptures. How about knowing the deep things of your own life? How about seeking the Lord until I know why I respond the way I do and getting help for the response that I have in life about things? There's another scripture I want to look at. It's a familiar scripture over in I think it's 2 Samuel, maybe. I'm thinking about the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter of 2 Samuel. You'll recognize the story. This story comes on the heels of the great King David took Bathsheba. He had Uriah sent to the head of the, had him basically sent into the place till he would be killed. And then after the time of mourning for Bathsheba, then David fetched it to his house. That's in the last part of the 11th chapter. In the 12th chapter, and it says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was kindled against the man." Well, now, isn't that an amazing story? David hears a story and had a very keen sense of morality, a very keen sense of justice. He didn't misjudge this to be, be honest with you, this is a very touching story to me, and I'll tell you why. Because in my lifetime, a few times, my children, when they were small, had these pets that they took in, and once they take them into an emotional, as a pet, not just an animal, but as a pet, and then the neighbor's dog comes and kills them, or we've had a number of times that we have the feeling of that, and I know us, we have these human connections with things, and I've told you before, one year at camp meeting, I had these hens that we got, and they were so tame, but I'd go out and sit down in the yard with corn and stuff and sit there, put it on my legs and sit there with my hands, and the whole flock of these hens would come, and they would jump up on my leg, and they would sit there and eat. And I know you can say, well, it was just a dumb bird or whatever that, but I kind of got affectionate to it. They were pets to me. I would pet them and do that, and they got to be close, and I went home from the camp meeting and went up there, and the neighbor's dog, and when I got up there to feed, I was going to go feed the chicken and get the eggs, and I went to feed the chickens, and it was just bodies of chickens and feathers and chickens and chicken guts and everything just strung all over the place, and my heart sunk. I know it was just a trivial thing that don't matter nothing in the whole scope of eternity, but it touched me. It hurt me. Something I had was lost, and it was so gory, and so I looked at that, and sometimes when I read this, I feel the same way. This man had this little lamb. It said it grew up with his children. It slept with the children. They petted it. It was something that was important to them. And David knew this. I'm telling you, when the story was told, David maybe in his own life, I wouldn't doubt if David in his life hadn't had a pet lamb. He was a shepherd. That he probably cared for the little ones and helped the ewes born them and bear them. And he's got them in his arms and packed. He knew what the shepherd was. He's had those that he loved in those kind of things. And that's why when Nathan told that story, he got so angry because he saw all of that so plain. That was a monster that did that. That was an animal. Nobody ought to have a heart like that. You know, we can be guilty of the same kind of things like that and think of those that are around and we'll claim, well, there have to be a monster to do something like that. And you know, we live in a world, Lord help us, we live in a world right now where there is a lot going on. And I want to tell you, the devil's behind all of it. And the people that's getting that way, you know, there's only one real answer, and it's God's love. It's reaching out Christ to them too. It's reaching out to everything. But this David looked at this situation and he judged it so keenly, so accurately. And David's wrath, his anger was, and it says, was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth," boy, what a proclamation. "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold." I'm assuming he would do that first. "Because he did this thing and because he had no pity." That that proclamation was accurate. You know, he couldn't see himself. David couldn't see himself. It was going to take some. Lord, help us to see ourselves. I remember going to prayer one time. I don't remember it, or I'd tell it. I'd open myself up to it, but don't remember exactly what it was. But I remember going to the prayer one time, and my mind was on a certain situation that somebody was doing, and I went to prayer. And in prayer, I felt like the Lord said, "You're doing the same thing." And I said, "I am not. I am not." And it came to me again, "You're doing the same thing. How?" You know, I sat and meditated a little bit, and the Lord showed me, and I said, "I'm doing the same thing. I'm having the same kind of judgment as they're having against me. Lord, help me." David judged this. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hands of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." You know, the Lord was saying, "David, there was no limits to what I was doing for you. I would have done whatever for you. I've done all of these things. And then you're the man." You need to be aware of who you are. We can try to do the great things, you know, think about the missionary efforts, or think about, "I want to do this," or "I want to do that for the Lord." I want to say the greatest miracle is when you find out who you are. I think when I learned about who I really am and can face up to who I really am before the Lord, that is one of the greatest miracles, to have my eyes open to who I really am. And to those that feel like and have some idea that in some way or some capacity you're better than anybody else, you're not. But neither are you worse than anybody else. To feel like that I'm not capable, there's nothing I can do, I've always been run down, I've never been important, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this, I'm not that. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. It's a false assessment of yourself. Many people will do that in a totally deceitful way for pity and for those kind of things, to manipulate and do that. You ever hear the word drama queen? There's a lot of drama queens. And why? Why is there so much of that? And there, because there's not a self-awareness. And it's people that's trying to say, you don't realize your own problems. Do you know insecurity? Insecurity is a driving force sometimes for all kind of things. It comes out as aggression, and it comes out as depression. It comes out just not being aware of how you're important, and no confidence and self-confidence and all those kind of things. And, you know, it can come out. You know, the Lord wants to heal that. God wants us to understand who we are before Him. You're as good as anyone, but you're no better than anyone. There's a place for all of us to be self-aware. This isn't unusual, folks. The Bible's full of people that wasn't aware. They had no self-awareness. They thought something totally that they were capable. Well, I'll give you an example. It's been used in this, I think, twice in this meeting already. There was a time that Peter, the Lord said, "You're going to deny me. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." And he said, "The others might." See, they don't have what I've got. Now, they might deny you, but I will never deny you. And here's the Jesus that he followed around, that turned the water to wine. This is the one that made the blind man see. This was the one that had the answers to all this stuff. And yet Peter's going to tell the Lord, "I know more about myself than you know about me. I know. I'm not going to deny you. I would never deny you." But after, when the cock crew, he had a
better awareness of who he was than he did before. He felt like, I can do anything. You know, there's times that I've seen this happen. There's times that you can get charged up into a meeting and you get these feelings like I said, everybody here is my friend, so I'm pretty much at liberty here. But out there, it's not that way, and you can be, and we can get so charged up and make our declarations of who we are. I'm going all the way with Jesus. Then real life starts hitting, and you wilt. You fade back. I'll never deny you, and come and said, "Aren't you one of them?" No, I'm not one of them. Second time it got, I am no, not. And the third time I actually swore about it. He didn't know himself. Years ago, we was in Water Valley, Mississippi, and we was in a meeting, and that meeting started in the morning service, and we did not stop through the morning service. We stopped just long enough to get a bite to eat, and the service ran all the way until way up into the night. I don't know if it's way up there. But part of the service was we was in the service, and it was going and going, and things was exciting, and everything was going. And so some of the younger brothers said, "We want to do some street preaching. We want to go and reach out, and we're ready. We're charged up." And of course, they had Brother Kimball there, who was a live wire anyway, and he was like this and charged up. And so Brother Kimball says, "Okay, good. Now you got me fired up. You got me fired up now. So we're going to go out and do some preaching out." So we all went and said, and so Brother Kimball just said, "Got some young brothers here and wants to do some street preaching." The ones that had suggested the preaching now thought Brother Kimball was going to do the street preaching. You know, "Let's go do some street preaching, Brother Kimball." And Brother Kimball said, "We've got some brothers got me fired up now. Come on, these brothers are going to do some street preaching." That's what they did. Uh-oh. A little while ago, I felt like it. I don't know myself very well. Now it really comes down to it. I wish I hadn't said anything. Boy, that, you know, we need self-awareness. We need to know some things about ourselves. Lord, help us to see ourselves, who we are. David, thou art the man. You're the one. Over in Matthew 7th chapter. The 21st verse of the 7th chapter, Matthew says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, you talk about something that's going to matter. Here was some people without much self-awareness. Really didn't know themselves very well. They went and made the religious profession. They went and done the works of the Lord, it sounds like. They done all of these things. And I say they don't know, there's no self-awareness, because I don't think God leaves people in a place like this without talking to them. I think people that want something of the Lord, an avenue of the Lord, I think if they take time to do it in the right way, God would surely speak to them and talk with them and bring the truth into their lives. But you know, it's going to take some real self-awareness about this thing. And I'm going to tell you the first gauge to watch out for, when you get a critical spirit. When you start getting critical, you mark it down. It's my self-awareness is poor. Because when I start seeing the faults and have criticisms of those that are around me, it isn't to say that I don't make judgments about the things that happen in life, and of course I do make those kind of judgments. When I start with a critical spirit, when I start thinking about it in those terms, well, that brother, I don't go because of this brother, or this sister's like this, or this brother like that. I'm going to tell you, there's a real flashing light there about that. Lord, it'd be wise to just stop and say, Lord, help me to see myself. Help me to see why that irks me. Help me to see why that, what is it about me that's bothering? What is the challenge with that? And I'm just going to say it out, because there is elements like that. I don't think it's prevalent among us. I'm just telling you there's some things like that. There is some things of jealousies. When someone achieves something or does something, the old devil ain't through working. And there can be something that makes a person do or think and be a certain way, and they shouldn't be. And they're not really aware. They can say it in so many ways that, no, it's him that's wrong. He always is like that. Why does he do that all the time? Why are they like that all the time? Maybe it ain't them. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not aware of the things, and this is the way we look at through the glasses, our own dirty glasses. Lord, help me. First and foremost, to deal with Marty, okay? Help me to see who I am and the place that I'm at in this. This is the Salvation 101 message. This is the beginning. This is the rudiment of it all. Lord, help me first. I'm not really going to help anybody till I can be helped myself. My soul is continually in my hand. Lord, search me, Lord. Try my reins. See if there's any wicked way in there. Is it possible that I've got this wrong? I can make the arguments. I can quote the scriptures. I can do that. But the Spirit in me won't let me be at peace. It won't let me have the joy that I should have. Because I'm always looking instead of, what would the Lord do if he was here? What do you think he would do if he was here? The one that we know don't need the eyes have. The one that don't need, he don't need self-inspection. He's got it right. What do you think he would do with the needs of this congregation? You think that he would condemn us? He said to the disciples they had no self-awareness. They come and said, these people over here that did this and this, and they must be evil. And Lord, do you want us to call fire down on them? All those disciples, no understanding of. And the Lord said, no, don't call down fire upon them. Don't you know that you'll all likewise perish if you're not saved? The Lord tried to get to them an understanding that if the Lord was here, he wouldn't look at the imperfections and faults of others that way. He would look to say, let's get it took care of. He would speak in a way to get us to understand our own faults and failures, and that there's grace and mercy for it. We can overcome these things. Oh, Lord, help us when we say we're adults. You know, adult is a... We want to be mature. But spiritually, there's no relative age. Do you know what I'm saying? You can be saved for 40 years and be immature. There's no age that you say, but there's a growing up. We want the kingdom of God to grow. We want our family members saved. We want the community to be saved. We want those that are around it. And you know, sometimes I can't help from thinking that the hindrance to God's work in that, I know it's up to people. I know God working his time, but sometimes I wonder if it's not just a lack of our self-awareness. I wonder sometimes if what we're putting out is completely the wrong thing. Not really understanding really what our life is supposed to be about. You know, I think that the Lord was here. I think he'd love everybody. I think his words would be kind to everybody. I think that the Lord would want to bring us to a place that we would want to serve him. Many would say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works. They sounded so sure. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's another place in the scriptures where I believe it's what, the 25th chapter of Matthew, that talks about there was 10 virgins. And they went to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. And the 5 wise took a vessel with oil. And the 5 foolish ones didn't. You know, that's getting down pretty close. I would say that if you lined the 10 up, you couldn't look and see the difference. You wouldn't know from the outward appearance who's wise and who's foolish. But there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. And the only way to know which one was which, it was when there was a sound that the bridegroom's coming. 5, they all slumbered and slept, and they woke. They wake up, and the lights was, they couldn't light the light. So, do you have the light? Is it being taken from you? Is there self-awareness of where I'm at? Is there a willingness to say, no, something's different? You know, we can go in such a line upon line measure. We can go so slow out of this. We heard some about convictions about that. Convictions usually don't get blasted away with storms. They ebb away. Convictions usually ebb away. They go away slowly. They usually ain't blasted away. They usually just filter out because it don't seem necessary. And after a while, they go away. And after a while, you don't really realize that where you've even gone or how'd you ever get there and those kind of things. And there is a lack of self-awareness sometimes. I knew somebody, and I made comment about them different times. I thought that they had such a poor sense of themselves and what their life was about and all those kind of things. And my desire for them was that they could look and see, because do you know the first thing it takes to be saved is a self-awareness moment. You have to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm lost and undone. You have to have a moment of self-awareness before you can even get saved to start with. I need something in my life. You come to a place that I'm wretched, I'm miserable. A self-awareness that I'm a sinner and things, I've done it wrong, Lord. I tried to do it myself and I've messed it up. That's a self-awareness that we have to come to be saved. But I want to tell you, to go on with the Lord, it takes a lot of self-awareness about this. To get along with other people, you need to be aware of yourself. Lord, help us. I want to look at Luke, the 23rd chapter. Oh, Luke 23, 39th verse. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Here was, you know, to me, I read a thing recently that explained more about, you all probably see the three crosses that's around on the different hills around here and stuff. Well, I read an article recently more about the guy that had done that, and that he had spent a great fortune doing that, putting it out. He was on the operating table and was said to have died on the operating table. They brought him back. He, when he come out of all that, he said that the God had given him a vision there and spared his life and brought him back with a pure purpose of setting these crosses up, told him how big to make them, how tall, what color, and to set them everywhere he could. And he made his life. He was a very, very wealthy man, and he spent, at the disdain of his family and his heirs, his children, he spent all of his money doing this and putting these crosses up. And I recently read that there was some woman in Georgia that has taken, after he passed away, it was fading away, and someone picked up the calls, and now there's actually somebody that's refurbishing them and resetting them and doing that. And I want to tell you what it forever says to me when I see them. There's Jesus, the cross, and I think this is what God intended for this scene to be in our mind. Jesus, the Son of God, makes the sacrifice for all humanity. And on one side of him is a human being, and on the other side, it represents the choice of mankind. You can be on one side or the other. It always represents the choice. As you look at it, it says to mankind, Jesus died for you, now choose. Jesus died for you. You can be the man on one side or the man on the other. The man on the one side without self-awareness. Without self-awareness to say, I'm about to go into eternity. And I've been a thief and a nasty person. I have broken every commandment God made. And I'm about to go into eternity. God have mercy on me. Should have been a self-awareness moment. Folks, there is times that people can get themselves in this world to a place that they are almost untouchable with any kind of thoughts like that. This man just railed on Jesus, saying, you say you are. He didn't believe it. You say you are. But the other man had a moment of self-awareness, didn't he? He said, justly. We're here. You not fear God. We're here. And justly. He's saying, I'm a thief. I knew this. I'm a thief. The picture of this is that one man makes a choice to turn God down. The other one makes a choice in self-awareness. Lord, remember me. Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm worthless. I'm nothing to do anything with. And he had a great moment of self-awareness that is preached about to this day. Of the man that made it on the 11th hour. The man that made it right at last. It shows the great mercy and love of God to redeem a soul that turns to him at the last moment. And he turned to him in a moment of self-awareness. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. And God saved him. This day shall thou be with me in paradise. What about the other fella? It would have been just as easy for him to say, Lord, show me who I am. There was another scripture. There's a man in the Bible that prayed thus. I thank God that I'm not as other people are. That, like this publican over here. Here was a man that thought that he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. This guy was so good and so right that God owed him. I am there. I pray, I fast, I give alms. I am so good. Not realizing that he'd done nothing. Maybe he did do those things. No doubt that he did. But he also was born to parents. He also was born in a culture and time. He was also given health and liberty. He also did all these things that he could not do for himself. God gave it to him, and he should have humbled himself, and his prayer should have been like this. Thank you, God, for the mercy that you show me every day. Thank you for the mercy that you've shown to me. Show it to others. No. And then there was a publican there. There was a man that never claimed that he was doing right things. But he had the moment of self-awareness. He wouldn't even lift. He come before the Lord and wouldn't lift his head up. But he smote himself on his, because he knew what he was. He smote himself on his breast and just simply said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what I am. And Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, in this." And Jesus says of this, to show and put it into our minds what little value religion can be. You know, I don't even like religion much, to be honest with you. I love pure religion and undefiled. I love the plan of salvation, but I ain't crazy about the religious stuff. Because a lot of it turns to hypocrisy. We don't want that. We want the moments of self-awareness. And to be able to say, you know what we should be as Christians? Oh, there's a life for us to live. God grants a grace to overcome the things of life with, but it don't belong to us. It's the grace of God. And our minds and hearts should always be, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be like them too. If I didn't have my opportunity and place that I did, I thank God that I had a link through my grandmother to what I call the truth and to the church. I thank God for that. You know, there's a lot that never had that opportunity at all. How dare us withhold it from them? How dare us make any kind of proclamations that they're somehow less than that? But to say, Lord, it's you that works. Have mercy on people everywhere. So, the guy that you think, I hear this, I've pondered with it many times. Prayer is supposed to be this avenue to God. It is. And to be earnest in prayer and fasting seems like that it should catapult you in to a spiritual life. It's supposed to. You know it won't without self-awareness. You know what it catapulted this man into? Hypocrisy and self-righteousness. He did that. He prayed. He prayed a lot. He fasted and prayed. He would never miss his appointment to pray. He was devout in prayer, and he was right up there, and God owed him because he was so good and he wasn't going to stop doing that. But he had no real value in the things of God. You know what this man needed? He didn't need to stop fasting and praying, because that's a good thing. He needed some self-awareness of who he really was. And you can look into the scriptures, and you can see all the way through the scriptures, you can see people that just didn't have the self-awareness. There was a man back at the beginning, you remember Cain? And the Lord says to Cain, when his offering wasn't accepted, and it upset him, and he was in this place, and the Lord speaks to him and say, if you do well, will you not be accepted? You'll be accepted if you do well, but if not, sin lieth at the door. Cain, get some self-awareness here. What you're doing is taking you. Oh, it won't take me. Oh, how many times we've heard that thing and seen that thing. And many times young people seem to think like, we preach this and we preach it and we do it from wisdom. And we say, I'm going to tell you, young people, I'm going to tell you, if you go down this course, this is going to be your end. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work for you. And over, there's going to be those that say, oh, it's going to work for me. No, no, it'll work for me. It'll work for me. And we see the heartache and the tragedy that ends up at the end of that over, you know, Lord help us, that there's some self-awareness about this. It gets into things that you couldn't sit up here and label them. Because there's times that we justify what we do and the way we'll justify it away, and we can justify ourselves in just about any action and thing we can do. Well, my heart's not on it. Well, then why are you doing it? I don't have to do it. Then why are you? I mean, some self-awareness to say, just simply say, I love the ones that say, I know I shouldn't be doing it, and it's nobody's fault but mine, but I've got my heart on it. It's at least an honest approach to it. Lord, help us to have some self-awareness. Have something from the Lord that helps us. I think we need the Lord to help us in all these areas. There was King Saul. King Saul allowed himself to get in a position almost unawares, without the self-awareness of what he really was doing. King Saul was killed by the enemy. And this is a tragic irony of King Saul's life. Do you know who his underling was? The greatest military mind that Israel ever had. David was his underling. What a blessing it would have been to have had David, the one that sung the songs and killed the giants. Who would you rather have than David? God gave David to Saul. I think of all the people that would have spared Saul's life in battle, would have been David. But he had no self-awareness. He became jealous over David. And when the women come out there and sang, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul, why does that bother you? Well, Brother Clint preached and 5 people went to the altar. It isn't me. I ain't nobody went to the altar at my preaching. You know, you got it wrong. If you think this thing's about you, it ain't. This ain't about me. And Lord, help me never to make it about me. This is about the Lord and the Lord's cause and about souls. And when somebody does it and the Lord uses, I say amen. Thank you, Lord. Go get him, brother. We're on the same team. I want to see the thing prosper. I want to see it grow. I want to see why. I want to ask you this question. Why would you ever be jealous over a brother's prosperity? Aren't you made better? I say at least. Do you know that it's your duty as a Christian to take care of your brother? So if he's doing well, you don't have to. So you can at least, if you want to be selfish about it, at least look at it that way. But it's better not to be and say, Lord, bless them. Bless them. Pour it on them. When you start feeling those things, it's a time to start getting some self-awareness. Lord, why do I feel this way? Lord, it all comes from you. I said it and mean it. I've been blessed by the prosperity of the saints all the way across the country. I remember when Brother Stanley Dixon built his house out there in Guthrie. I got to stay in it right after they built it. Him and Sister Karen, they had their new house there. And I went, and boy, they were good hostess. And she was great. And we had this nice new bedroom with bathroom. We had all this nice stuff. And I just said, thank you, Jesus, for this another house that I have. This is a part of my, you give it up, you get 100-fold in this life and life eternal. This is a part of the 100-fold. And I said, thank you for blessing with this. I have a house here in Guthrie. Now I can come and stay in, and I don't have to pay the taxes. Brother, he has to pay the taxes. I can just come. What a blessing to have that, this and there. And Brother Clint testified this. I just asked Brother Clint to get close to the highway so when I'm traveling, I don't have to go too far off to get a stay at his house. Thank God that he's got that. It's a nice place to stop and stay. We're blessed to be able to do it. You know, if we're not thinking in those kinds, we need some self-awareness. This ain't about me. This is about God and God's kingdom. May God's kingdom be lifted up, and may the Lord help us. Give us eyes, salve, to be able to see those things. And in relationships, I'm going to tell you to be wise. And I'm not saying I've always done it. I'm just saying to be wise is when there's conflict in relationships, the best thing you can do is start looking at yourself first and say, why am I responding like I am in this situation? That's the best thing to do. Because I'm going to tell you, if you do that and you're humble, God will have a remedy for that. And many times the Lord can show you exactly. And you know what? It'd be really nice that if every time that happened, the Lord would say, yeah, that was Linda's fault. You're clear on this one. It doesn't happen that way. It'll happen is that you shouldn't have responded quick like that. You should have been better than that. Lord, help me to be able to see myself. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.